While many schools and people who work in schools are more aware of bullying now than in generations past, there are still a lot of questions about it and how to prevent it. That's something Jonathan Cohen spends his time studying. He's the incoming co-president of the International Observatory on School Climate and Violence Prevention and an adjunct professor in psychology and education at Teachers College, Columbia University. He joins me via Skype. And Jonathan, are we seeing more reports of bullying now than in the past? And if so, is that the result of more bullying happening, or are people maybe more aware of it and willing to report it now?
There certainly is a very significant increase in kids and educators and parents reporting bullying. I don't think anyone really knows whether there's actually an increase in incidents and or people are just reporting this more. My impression is it's the latter. My impression is that there's been a range of mean, cruel, disrespectful behaviors that kids, for a variety of reasons, and adults as well, have been doing for decades and decades, and I don't think actual prevalence rates are up.
Does it seem as though there's any kind of consensus on what constitutes bullying?
That's a great question, and the answer is no. Researchers have one definition of bullying that includes a person doing something intentionally, and that the person, the bully, or the group of people who are being mean and cruel have more power than the target and that it's repeated. But in fact, that's an unhelpful definition for educators and parents, because so often we can't really tell if something is intentional and or if one person has more power than the other. And in any case, a focus on bullying alone obscures a profoundly important truth, namely that there is a spectrum of experiences that undermine children feeling safe.
Well, so given that there is, as you say, sort of a spectrum of behavior, does that also call for a spectrum of response from schools and from teachers and administrators?
Yes. And unfortunately, today in America, our general response to any instances of bullying are twofold. It's to identify who is the person or the group who's been acting in mean, cruel, disrespectful ways, and two, to punish them. That's an incredibly simplistic and unhelpful response.
So what are the best ways then to teach teachers and school administrators sort of a way to look at this issue holistically? And I think probably in the same sense, you have to teach kids maybe the concept of empathy or to identify what bullying is and what to do about it.
Well, there isn't any one thing that teachers or student leaders can do to prevent bullying. There's really a hierarchy of interventions or school improvement goals that when principals and superintendents, ideally in partnership with student leaders and parent leaders, work on together, it can make literally a world of difference. Foundationally, it's essential that school leaders initially focus on how can we promote positive individual and also organizational development. And there's a variety of ways that teachers, for example, can further social and emotional and academic education, life skills education. But we can also, from a systemic or a school-wide point of view, create peer leadership opportunities. There are additionally some kids, and actually sometimes teachers, who are in trouble psychologically or otherwise, and we need to develop additional programs for kids and adults who are at risk or just out and out troubled. Here, mentoring programs, alternatives to out-of-school suspensions, concentrating on helping kids to become more flexible and creative problem solvers, as well as creating more mental health and psychotherapeutic opportunities for kids who are really stuck. It's the rare exception that someone acts as a bully who's sociopathic. In other words, the vast majority of people who are mean and cruel to other people are not antisocial individuals. They do feel guilty, but they're troubled and stuck in coping with their own internal or interpersonal family difficulties by, in a way, passing on what's been given to them.
Well, so you mentioned a little earlier that the way that a lot of schools handle this sort of situation now is to identify the bully and punish them, and how that doesn't really solve the problem. I'm wondering if in some ways it maybe makes it worse, especially if somebody is dealing with a mental health problem or some other problem at home or some other struggle that maybe isn't going identified.
Mark, it's extraordinary that we now have over 25 years of empirical research confirming what you just said. Punishment is not only an unhelpful strategy, it tends to make things worse.
So if this doesn't work and in some ways makes things worse, why do so many states and school districts and schools continue to do it?
It's a really important question. And my understanding is that state leaders are not aligning educational policy with current research findings.
Do you see evidence that there are schools or districts or maybe even states that are looking to move in this direction and make this switch?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Over the last 25 years, there's been a growing body of empirical research about what really helps schools to prevent violence, what really helps teachers and principals to be able to further not just academic learning, but social and emotional and civic as well as academic learning. That's really what provides the foundation, not only for school success, but for life success. And it's absolutely true and very exciting that more and more principals and superintendents and state leaders are appreciating this research and doing their best to put this into action.
Jonathan Cohen is the incoming co-president of the International Observatory on School Climate and Violence Prevention and an adjunct professor in psychology and education at Teachers College, Columbia University.